Love First is one of those, well, one of those phrases where it inspires, it impassions, it encourages. But if we're not careful, love first, well, it can just become a branding slogan, a marketing term that looks great on a t-shirt or, well, even a sweatshirt, a sticker or a coffee mug. If we're not careful, the phrase love first just gets relegated to a social media post where at the very end you just hashtag it love first. If we're not careful, love first becomes one of those phrases that just fills empty conversations. You see, with love first, it's one of the most simple of actions that if you and I were to be very transparent, it's probably one of the most difficult, complex actions in our lives to truly love first. You see, in all of our lives, relationships breathe so much hope and joy into our lives, and well, relationships bring so much hurt and pain. And when that one person comes against you, when that one person attacks you, when that one person powers up against you, that emotion to get revenge, it comes surging into our hearts and our mind. And the thing is with revenge, it can burn down any relationship. It can burn down any friendship. It can completely destroy any family. That's why Jesus gave us three different moments where it'd be so easy for anyone to want to get their revenge. He said, hey, if someone backhand you, someone insults you, turn your other cheek. Just take another insult for them. Jesus said, well, someone goes to sue you for your shirt, well, give them your coat as well. That one piece where legally they had no right to. And he said, if someone powers up and forces you to march 1 mile, he said, well, just go another. See, Jesus was trying to give us a whole different way to handle that moment when someone powers up, when someone attacks, when someone comes against us, when someone gossips about us, when someone says horrible rumors about us, right? When someone comes in and starts to completely decimate the relationship. Jesus said, hey, when you want to get your revenge, you're going to want to retaliate, but you must reject that desire. You must reject that urge, and you must reflect his heart, his love, and how he lived that out. And so right after Jesus gets done, well, sharing these three very specific examples, he immediately goes in and says, you have heard that it was said. Another one of these statements where everyone on this hillside that sloped into the Sea of Galilee would have known. In that culture, they would have used these words. He says, you've heard that it said to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But what's interesting about that statement is, well, the first part, the love your neighbor part, was actually anchored into the ancient Jewish scripture, what we call the Old Testament. You can read it in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. And so this very common statement to love your neighbor and hate your enemy, well, the first part of that, well, was anchored into the Bible. But the second part, the and hate your enemy part? Well, that's nowhere to be found in the Bible. That wasn't part of Leviticus 19, verse 18, nor anywhere else. You see what's interesting when Jesus says, hey, you've heard this said, dot, dot, dot. I'm sure you've said this before, to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Half of that is, well, in the Bible. The other half is not in the Bible. And you see, this happened 2,000 years ago, and it happens to this day, where we, human beings, we take pieces of the Bible we want to know. Pieces of the Bible that we like to quote. And then we just kind of forget the rest, or kind of bring in different statements to it. And Jesus in that moment would have had everyone listening to him, because they knew. They knew that half of that statement was anchored to God's word, the Bible, and the other half wasn't. And Jesus is like, hey, you've heard this said, and you probably even said it by yourself before. And then Jesus says, but I tell you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Don't get caught up with the enemy word and the persecute word. I mean, Jesus could have said, use enemies for both examples or persecute for both examples. He was just trying to paint this picture. What you need to hold on to are these two actions, to love and to pray. Jesus was like, hey, when your enemy is coming after you, when that person is coming after you, when that person has said those things about you, when that person is undercutting you, when that person is powering up against you, when that person betrayed you, how do you reflect? You pray and you love. And you love and you pray. And the more you love, the more you will pray. And the more you pray, the more you will love. That if we truly want to understand what it is and how to reject our desire to get our revenge and to retaliate, we have to reflect Jesus' words. And he's saying, hey, to do that, you got to pray and you got to love. You got to love and you got to pray. You got to pray and you got to love. Think about that one person. You know his name right now. You know her name right now. Who is it? Who is that one person that has hurt you deeply? And you're already trying to get your revenge. You're already trying to retaliate. And even though you know at some of them not to, you're hurting. And maybe that person continues to hurt you. And Jesus said, hey, got to pray. You got to love. You got to love and you got to pray. You see the power of prayer? The power of prayer, see, it connects your heart to the heart of God. When you pray, there's something supernatural at the soul level that connects your heart to beat in rhythm with God's heart. You see, so many times when we go to pray, it's about shouting at God or yelling at God or telling God what we think or trying to get off our chest everything that has been going on in our life. And that's important. Don't stop doing that. But when you go to pray, I want to encourage you to start with saying, God, I want my heart to beat in rhythm with your heart. God, I want to know your heart. I want to be connected in that type of way. And when you grasp that prayer connects your heart to God's heart, then prayer starts to shape your thoughts to the thoughts of God. See, the power of prayer is in those moments where you actually stop talking and you listen. those moments where all of a sudden this whisper, this thought. And in those moments, this is what I have found. In those moments, all of a sudden God will whisper something into my heart, into my soul, and it will create discomfort. It will create some friction. It will create within me, God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to make that phone call. I don't want to forgive at that level. God, I'm not ready yet. One day I will, but not now. You see, those moments where when I'm praying and I'm doing more listening than talking, then all of a sudden God starts to direct my steps. You see, when your heart connects with God's heart, and when God starts to shape your thoughts to be His thoughts, then that's when all of a sudden your steps become God's steps. And Jesus says, hey, for that person that has hurt you the deepest, for that person that has just kept on attacking you, for that person that keeps powering up against you, for that person, love them and pray for them. Jesus, like the world is saying to you, love your neighbor, easy, and hate your enemies, easy. And Jesus is like, no. There's a different way to live. There's a different way to love. There's a different way to be a beacon of light in this dark world. And Jesus said, when you love and you pray, what happens is that you may be children of your Father in heaven. I think about those words, that we may be children. When we pray for those that hurt us, when we pray for those that keep hurting us, when we pray for those who keep betraying us, when we pray for those that keep attacking us, when we pray for those people, we love them. We become children of God the Father. Are you a parent? If you are, you've had this experience before. I'm a dad of an 18-year-old and a 14-year-old. And there's been these moments over the years where, well, all of a sudden one of my girls will do something, will say something. We'll get a phone call or text message from someone, and they will be sharing a story about something one of our daughters said or did. And in those moments, there's the proud parent moments where all of a sudden, I mean, I can see them just reflecting myself and my wife, Kim. Like, those are incredible moments where all of a sudden, I'm like, okay. We haven't got everything right, but we're getting some things right. But then there's been other moments where one of our daughters will say or do something, and it will reflect something I say or something I've done. And I just feel like a horrible dad. You see, here's the thing as a parent that I know. And if you're a parent, you know this. Our kids reflect us. And the not so good, and then the awesomely good. Our kids, they reflect us. And what Jesus was saying is, when you love and when you pray for those that hurt you, you reflect God the Father. Because that's who God is. And Jesus says that God the Father causes His Son to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And that if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Jesus said. Like, when you love the easy people, when you love the people that love you, when you love the people that treat you well, when you love the people that respect you, when you love the people that serve you, when you love those people, what's the impact? Jesus goes on and he goes, are not even the tax collectors doing that? And I think about when Jesus said that phrase. Remember, Matthew, just days before this moment on the hillside, Matthew was a tax collector. And I just think all of a sudden Jesus goes, hey, the tax collectors do that. And Matthew just had to kind of sheepishly just kind of like shift his head down a little bit as, well, everyone there knew what Matthew's job was before Jesus tapped him on the shoulder. And Jesus went on. He said, if you greet only your own people, the people you're comfortable with, the people that, well, you like and they like you, what are you doing more than others? He goes, don't the pagans do that? And right there, Jesus could have picked on the tax collectors again because, well, the tax collectors were considered pagans. Jesus is like, no. To follow him, to live a life reflecting him. You can't just live the same way everyone else is living. You can't just love like, well, normal everyday people are loving. Your love must look different. Your love must be different. And if the tension wasn't tense enough, all of a sudden Jesus says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now the word perfect, well, doesn't mean what you and I think of perfection now. Jesus was saying is, be whole. Like God the Father is whole. Be filled like God the Father is filled. Be complete. There's this fullness, this completeness that comes when we reject our desire to get our revenge and retaliate. There's a wholeness, a completeness that comes when we choose to reflect Jesus' words. And let's love and let's pray for those that we don't want to love and we don't want to pray for. You see, we have to radiate a love that God the Father radiates. You see, just 3 years from that moment on that hillside, Jesus was hanging on a cross, nails in his wrist and in his feet, a pain that you and I can't even remotely comprehend. It was Jesus who said the words, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. See, I think when Jesus was saying these words on this hillside, he's like, no, you got to love people. The people you don't want to love, you got to love them. And you got to pray for them. The people you don't want to pray for, you got to pray for them. That when you pray for them, it starts to connect your heart to God the Father's heart. And when you pray for them, God's thoughts are going to start shaping your thoughts. And when you pray for them, God's going to direct your steps into his steps, and then you'll be able to love them like God loves. On the cross, Jesus, it's like, God, forgive them. You see, I think on that hillside, Jesus knew what he was going to say on that cross. And Jesus knew that he was going to have to pray for those responsible to crucify him and pray for those that were going to betray him and to pray for those who were going to run away and hide and pray for those that didn't show up when he needed them most. If you're connected online, there's going to be a link dropped in, and I just want to encourage you to click on that link. And across all of our physical campuses, you received a little piece of paper. If you didn't get one of these, I would just ask you to kind of slip your hand up in the air, and someone at one of our campuses will walk up and they'll hand you one. But I want you to take that little piece of paper out right now, or click on that link right now. You see, we wanted to give you space right now to pray. To pray for that person, for those people, that right now you're trying to decide. Are you going to get your revenge and retaliate? We wanted to create some space for you to pray for that person, and you know who they are, that has hurt you the deepest. That person where maybe you don't want to forgive. Maybe you've tried to forgive and the hurt's too deep. That person that you've tried just to let go of and let God, and you just, for whatever reason. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Maybe write their first name down here. Maybe write their initials. Maybe you just want to write, God help. Maybe you want to say, hey God, I want my heart to connect to your heart. Or maybe you write down, God help shape my thoughts. Or maybe you write down, God direct my steps. Whatever you write down, what do you need to write down so you can release it to God? In a moment, there's going to be a song that gets played. And during that song, all I'm going to ask all of you to do is take whatever you've written down on this piece of paper and pray. Pray. Connect your heart to God's heart. Ask God to shape your thoughts to His thoughts. Ask God to direct your steps and pray. Invite God in. Invite God in. And see, just see what just might happen. For us to radiate, we must love those that we don't want to love. And for us to radiate, we must pray for those we don't want to pray for. But that reflects Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for every single person, because right now, you know the name on their heart. You know the name rolling through their mind, a name that has brought so much hurt and pain into their life, the name of a person that has caused so much damage and destruction, a name of a person that has revenge written all over. And so, Lord, I just pray right now for every single person to invite you into that space. God, I hope every person knows that their pain is your pain. You feel it, you sense it, you know it. That God, you want to join your heart with their heart. Lord, I pray for every single person. They'll invite you in to help shape their thoughts to be your thoughts. Lord, I pray for every single person. In this moment, they'll grasp the extent of your forgiveness for them. That will help them extend that forgiveness to that person. your name I pray. Amen.